On today, Pastor Seawright shares how the Greek form of the word testimony refers to both a martyr and reputation. Let's listen as he continues his series on the Gospel of John by looking at John, the third chapter, verses 22 through 30, in a sermon called A Tested Testimony.
Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen, amen. If you will, join with me in a word of prayer. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you now, Lord, and as always, lifting your name up. The song said, hallelujah, salvation and glory. All glory belongs to you on today, Father. And Lord, as we look to you, Father, for a word from above for your people, Lord, I ask that this word, your word, not be tainted by anything, Father. Let it not be mine, but yours, Father. Once again, that it may build up your people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. All right. Seated. If you can, please get your Bibles, tablets, or phones, and turn to third chapter of the Gospel of John. And we'll cover on today verses 22 to through rather 30. John 3:22 through 30. And while you're going there, let me say that Tuesday nights are a treat. And if you guys, you know, if you can come out, I tell you, please make it out. These brothers that are teaching, they're hitting home runs every time. And I tell you, it'll be good for your soul. It'll be good to listen to the words, to the teaching, and honestly, to the message that you will receive from the Lord, as I stated, through their teaching. It's just it's an awesome experience. I love the format. And I love how the word is laid out. I just ask that you all would just, you know, consider coming on out and joining us. We're growing in numbers there. We got some tables that we're filling up. So, you know, get your spot while it's still one available. Amen. And the other thing is too, like I said, on the 15th, that's an awesome occasion that's coming on there. That's going to be going on. It's the Christmas party. And I'm getting so excited about it each day that comes. I think Kelsey has a Christmas countdown thing. It's an app that just counts down to days of till the day of Christmas. I think I'm gonna borrow that to count down the day of the 15th of the party day for the church. I'm so excited. I'm just letting you know it's gonna be a wonderful occasion. Please come out. And please join us. And then, in addition to that, I know that I was trying to pre-order some desserts. Let's put a hold to that. I've been on that treadmill and things have not gone the way I want them to. I'll get back with y'all on that. Things are a little bit stubborn nowadays, so I want to try to make sure I keep them in line. Amen. So, anyway, get into the text. The Gospel of John, third chapter,
verses 22 to 30. And I'll read this for you all. This is going to be out of the New American Standard Bible. It says this: After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he was spending time with them and baptizing. John also was baptizing in Aenon, near Salem, because there was much water there, and people were coming and were being baptized. For John had not yet been thrown into prison. Therefore, there arose a discussion on the part of John's disciples with a Jew about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing and all are coming to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from above or from heaven. You yourselves are my witnesses that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. He must increase, but I must decrease. Amen. If you are reading from the New American Standard Bible, this section is titled John's Last Testimony. John's last testimony. The word testimony is from the Greek word martyrios, meaning witness or evidence or serve. This is the Greek word that translates into the English word martyr. A person who is killed because of their religious or personal beliefs. In Revelations 12 and 11, it reads, And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. In other words, this reads, they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and the message of their testimony. If you were to read in Revelations, that 12th chapter, you would see that there was a fight going on in heaven. It was time for Satan to be evicted. It was time for him to be kicked out. And there was a fight going on there. And they overcame. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the message of their testimony. What's interesting is that we also overcome. Overcome meaning we are victorious, we are conquerors by the blood of the Lamb and the message of our testimony. And what is that message of our testimony? That message is the gospel. It is the gospel. Now, there is another aspect of the word testimony that also encompasses the English word reputation. Reputation. Both the gospel and your reputation are tested. The message, the gospel, that gospel message that we've been given, it will not be overcome. It will not be conquered. Truth will march on. Now, your reputation? Well. You know, Romans 2 and 24, you know, it says that the name of God is blasphemed among Gentiles because of you. Meaning that sometimes folks get a little off in their walk and And then Gentiles or unbelievers are there saying, ooh, you say you're a Christian, right? And sometimes your reputation, you know, sometimes it can be altered by just a lie. Amen? You're standing innocent, but sometimes your reputation can be just altered just by a lie. Sometimes even a look can mess your reputation up. Third party is saying, look at him, look at her like that. And why is he looking at her like that? She must be. And all of a sudden, your reputation is altered just by a look. That's why it's wise, as one person said, it's wise to never fight in regards to your reputation with your mouth. Right? But what you should do is address it with your life, with your actions. Amen? And Satan, as I stated, attacks the gospel and your reputation. And if you don't believe me, just ask John when you get to heaven. Ask him. Because in this episode here, you'll see that John the Baptist was being attacked here. And it was being tested, if you will, because this was a tested testimony that was going on. And John stood and withstood the test. Amen. So sometime after Jesus had his conversation with Nicodemus, he and his disciples went out to the countryside or the rural area. Now, to clarify the first verse, which is our 22nd verse, to clarify that, you got to also read John, the 4th chapter, and the 2nd verse, because it clarifies that to let you know that Jesus wasn't necessarily doing the baptizing, but his disciples were doing the baptizing. Because we know how that goes. If Jesus baptized, then all of a sudden a person that was baptized by Jesus got one up on everybody that was baptized by the disciples. Amen. So folks, though, in John's camp began to notice a shift in popularity. They noticed that a lot of folks were going over to Jesus. And John, although they were still pouring into John, they weren't pouring as much to John. So John's people started to look at Jesus' camp like, okay, what's going on here? It could have been some jealousy, some say. Others say it could have been some bitterness that was going on. But nevertheless, they began to look at Jesus and look at those that were going over there. He said, they're like, John, let me pull your coattail. What was John to do, though? What was John to do? Was he to, like, try to compete with Jesus? What was he supposed to do? Try to, like, be in competition with Jesus? I mean, how well did that work for the devil when he tried to compete with God, right? Because he was in heaven saying, I will be like the Most High. And then all of a sudden they said that they saw him, whew, fall like lightning, right? Right? And that's pretty fast. So it goes to show you that, so in John's camp, people were trying to say, hey, John, you know, change your perspective here. Look, we're losing our congregation. You know, folks over here, they're gaining numbers and everything, and we're losing the congregation over here, John. You know, it's some trouble going on here, and that goes to show you that even folks in your own camp sometimes kind of misdirect you. Amen. I can recall when I was reading and studying this, I can recall moments in my childhood. See, I was the eldest of six. And I had some sisters that always started junk. And when they started mess, I got a big brother. and he's gonna come and he's gonna get you. I don't know how many fights I've been in that they have started. Folks in my camp was the most trouble. And then when I grew up, I even had friends that were in my camp that would say, "Man, I think you can take him. Man, I think you got him." And when they geeked me up to think that I got him and I did not have him, the only thing that they would say is, "Man, I thought you thought you had him. I thought you had him when I didn't." So folks in your own camp sometimes don't work. It just don't work. Amen. So John was tested once again. And here was another opportunity for his ego to get into the way, if you will. John, keep your name up in lights, right? You were here before Christ. I know they say you were the forerunner, but hey, you can be the man right now, John. So, John, here, you know, here, set it up. Here it is. Keep your name up there, John. Keep it up. You don't have to be the second fiddle. You can be the first. Amen. But I was reading a comment by Carson, and Carson said this, that, you know, most of us get into this trap of looking to do great things. And that's what we do. We want to do great things. That's all we think about is doing great things. And the scripture that we quote often here is from 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and the 7th verse. And it has a little line in there that sometimes folks forget. What do you have that you did not receive? And we sometimes forget that. But I want to break it down a little more than just that scripture on today. You know, and it's two parables that come to mind when we look at this thing about receiving. And these two parables are found, one in Matthew, the 25th chapter, the parable of the talents. And then is another that's found in Luke, the 19th chapter, the parable of the pounds. Awesome, awesome parables with an awesome message. And if you look at Matthew, the 25th chapter, and I'll read to you verses 14 to 18. It says, "For it is just like a man," Jesus is saying, "about to go on a journey, who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Each according to his own ability." An important word there. "And he went on his journey. Immediately, the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money." And it goes on to say that the master comes back and it was time to reckon. And the one that had the five, that gained 5 more, he got, "Oh, well done. I will put you in charge of many things," right? And then the one that had 2, who gained 2 more, "Hi, the one who gained 2 more," the one that gained 2 more, he ends up saying to him as well, he says to him, "I will put you in charge of many things." But the one that had 1 and dug it and did nothing, oh, he got in trouble. He got in trouble. Now, what do we learn from this passage or this parable? Well, the talents represent ability, right? The talents represent ability. And notice that the master gave different levels of ability. One he gave 5, the other he gave 2, and the other he gave 1. So he gives different levels of ability. But also notice that the reward was the same. The reward was the same. Amen. But then when we go and we look at Luke, the 19th chapter, it reads this. And this is the parable of the pounds. So he said, a nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. And he called 10 of his slaves and gave 10 minas and said to them, do business with this until I come back. Notice that he, in this passage, gave 10 to 10. In other words, he gave the same across the board. Now, I don't want to lose you all, because in the parable that we just talked about, he gave different levels of abilities. But in this passage, he gave everyone the same, because most writers, most expositors say that this passage was talking about the gospel. He gave all of them the gospel. He gave all of them the gospel. And mainly what ends up happening is when you read this parable, you'll see that in verse 17, you are to be in authority over 10, because the one who had 10 increased to 10 more. And he said, you are to be in authority over 10. The one who had 5, he increased it 5 more. And he said to him, and you, in verse 19, and you are to be over 5 more cities. So notice here that everybody got the same at first, but then the reward or the turnout was different. The first one, everybody's ability is different, but the reward is the same. But in the second one, everybody gets the same thing to start off with, but the production is different. Are y'all following me? But the production is different. In other words, if we are all given the gospel, what this thing points to is, what is our faithfulness with it? Because depending on your faithfulness to this gospel will be the product, will be the product, the outcome. Amen? Will be the outcome. And the interesting thing is this. The pounds represent the gospel. Everyone receives the same thing, but faithfulness produces different results. The level of faithfulness produces different results. And we notice this in Acts. If someone is faithful to the gospel message and doing what they're supposed to do with that gospel message, notice the results in Acts 2 and 41. So then those who had received his word were baptized. And that day, there were added about 3,000 souls. Then when you flip a couple of more chapters to chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, but many of those who had heard the message believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. So we started off, if you read Acts, we started off with a church that was about 120 or so. To now you're talking of a church about close to 10,000 or more, because of the faithfulness that they had with the gospel that they were given. Amen. So John, he did not get off track by this big brother mentality and going out and fighting fights and over popularity, if you will, and trying to fight a popularity contest, and he definitely wasn't gullible enough to fall into the trap of like getting geeked up by his camp to do some things. But John's response is one that really I wanted to get into because it will help us. Because the first thing that we notice about John's response is verse 27 when he says, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from above. In other words, we cannot receive any more than what God gives. That's something we have to keep in mind. We cannot receive any more than what God gives. Some of us have Kool-Aid goals with water abilities. And some of us have Kool-Aid goals with Kool-Aid abilities. But it is God who gives the increase. It's God who gives the increase. And secondly, we can learn from John when he said in the 28th verse, you yourselves are my witnesses that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent ahead of him. John was not enamored, if you will, with looking to do great things, right? He understood the truth that Browning said, and Browning said this, all service ranks the same with God. Any task done for God is necessarily great. Did y'all hear that? All service ranks the same with God. Any task done for God is necessarily great. So, you can't be looking at C-Wright and saying, yeah, if I was in that position, I'll do X, Y, Z. When you're neglecting your position. And you're neglecting your assignment. Everything that is done for God is necessarily great. Amen? And then lastly here, John was saying, he gave us an illustration. And he gave us an illustration of marriage that was in their custom, how it went. He gave the illustration of the bride and the bridegroom. And we know from scripture that this illustration represents the church. Well, in the Old Testament, it represented Israel with God. And then in the New Testament, it represents the church with Christ. Amen. And just a few references, scripture references, you can look up Isaiah 54 and 5 and 2 Corinthians 11 and 2. But it represents in the New Testament Christ as the groom and the church as his bride. And John came, John the Baptist said that I'm the best man. I'm not the groom. I'm not the groom. How out of whack would it be if the best man was pushing up on the bride? That ain't right. Right? That's not right. That's not right. That the bride is not for the best man. The bride is for the groom, John said. Don't you understand? Don't you understand? And he said, like in their tradition, the best man had a couple of assignments. One, it was that he was to be the liaison between the groom and the bride. He was to make sure that all the communication was cool between the two, right? Then the other thing is that he was to help to arrange the wedding. He was helping to arrange the wedding. The third thing was he sent out actually the invitations. Yeah, the best man sent out the invitations. Y'all taking notes, Caleb? And, and then he oversees or he manages the feast. I mean, he was working during this time. You know, I see a lot of brothers now, the best man, they make a show that they having fun. just as much fun as the bride and the groom. They're not overseeing nothing nowadays, but their action at the party. Right? And then here's another thing. The best man brought the groom and the bride together at a certain time, because then they had to enter the bridal chamber. And he made sure that chamber was locked, sealed, before he or after he searched it and everything. He made sure that nobody, no intruder, was in that chamber. And the only ones that went in there was the bride and the groom. Amen. But here's the other thing he did. Is once he did his assignment and his assignment was done, he went his way. It was done. And that was it. The same thing John is trying to illustrate here was his job to do. His job was to make sure that he set the stage. Make sure that he was setting the stage for the bride and the groom to come together. I'm introducing you to your groom, bride. And then after it's all said and done, he goes his way. He goes his way. So from this passage, John teaches us three things. Acknowledge that you have received what you have. Also, understand that you've been assigned a specific task. And then the other thing was to allay all or put aside the ambitions, the personal ambitions, the personal goals and personal desires, and magnify him. Those are the three things that we should pick up from John. The focus is always on Christ. And throughout this gospel, that's the focus. He's focusing us and taking us always, drawing us to Christ. And here's John's last testimony, because John is about to leave the scene, if you were to connect the other gospels to this story. He's about to leave the scene. He's about to get arrested. And once arrested, he's about to get beheaded. And he's leaving the scene, but he left the scene with a good testimony. Because that testimony always pointed to Christ. To Christ. So what will we do today? How will we deal with a testimony? All of us have a testimony. And when we read on and we go into the fourth chapter of John, what you'll see and what will be covered in Tuesday night, this Tuesday night, will be how one person's testimony, and that was the woman at the well. She went back into the city, and then all of a sudden, folks were coming over her testimony. And that's how powerful your testimony will be. I asked you all in times past, what will your testimony be? What will your life sentence, remember? I said, what will that life sentence be? How are you going to want to be remembered? How do you want people to know you now? Huh? I says, for some of you, do you want some of you to say, just say, you know, when people just see you, they're going to say, girl, that girl is crazy. Is that that's your testimony? She crazy, y'all. She is crazy. Right? Or do you, for fellas, do you want, he a Mac. Hey, that's the dude. That's the dude there. That's the player there. What you want your reputation to be? What do you want your life sentence to be? When it's all said and done, what do you want your testimony to be? For John, it was that he wanted everyone to know that he was drawing all men to Jesus. Now you notice, if we circle back around as well in that ability, we're talking about that parable of abilities. You notice too that when you read that parable, that the one that did not do what he needed to do with his ability, guess what happened? It was taken. God gives you ability. You do nothing with it. What do you think he's going to do? He's going to take it away. And guess who he's going to give it to? The one that is doing what they're supposed to be doing. You have some that are resting on the fact that they think they are talented and gifted. And they're chilling, doing nothing with the talent and the gift that they've been given. And they think, all I have to do is make that decision, poof. And then all of a sudden, all I have to do is just activate it and poof. My talent and my ability is going to be seen by everybody. But if you don't use it, sometimes you lose it. And as soon as you say, oh, here I go, I'm about to activate it, where it go? Where it go? Well, you've been sitting on it through the 80s, through the 90s, most of the 2000s. Where it go? Where it go? God has said, I've given you a certain amount of time to do a task. And not only did I give you a certain amount of task to do, amount of time to do a task, but I've given you the ability to accomplish that task. What will you do? What have you done for me lately? That's the decision on today. God has given all of us talents and abilities to use for him, not for or on ourselves, but to use for him. How will we use these things? How will we use these things? What will we do? Will we think that we are the ones that blessed ourselves with these things? I have blessed myself with this ability that I have. So therefore, it's for hire, whoever would like to have it for them, you know, at the right price with the right stroke of my ego, I might hook you up with this. But if you don't do what I need you to do, then I can't do what I can do. Like it's up for negotiation or something. Because like I said, you try to activate it and it's gone. Time is of the essence, saints. Time is of the essence. What will you do with what you've been given? And when you activate it, and when you realize that you have this ability, will you point men to Christ? Will you use it to point men to Christ? And that's the message. That's the message on today. Nothing more and nothing less. Will you point men to Christ with what God has given you? And you can't ignore this part. Both times in the parable, with both parables, there was a day of reckoning. One day God returns. And when he returns, he is going to ask questions. And he's going to ask some questions of you. And the question will be, what did you do? What did you do first? What did you do with Christ? Did you accept him? Or did you turn your back on him? And then for the saints, he will ask, what did you do with what I gave you? Were you faithful with it? I can give you the abilities and I can give you the talents. But one thing I'm not going to do is be faithful for you. I'll be faithful to you. But I'm not going to be faithful for you. So what will you do, saints? What will you do, those who are out of the ark of safety? That's the question on today. And as always from this pulpit, I beg you. I beg you to get it together. I beg you to be reconciled to God. Because there is a day that will come where he will ask some serious questions. And as I stated before, the Bible teaches that all of a sudden, poof, this world as we know it will be gone. And all of a sudden, we're suspended in space with nowhere to run and nowhere to hide. There will not be a brick, not even a pebble, that you can call yourself trying to hide behind. You will stand there totally exposed to God. And that's Judgment Day. What will you do with Christ? I beg you, if he has not been your Lord and Savior to this point, make him your Lord and your Savior. And to those who know him and they are serving him half-heartedly and they have not utilized the talents that he's given, I ask you to put those talents into practice here where you are. Put them into practice. Get them going. Use them. Use them. Use them. Because he is going to ask, what have you done with what I've given you? Choose ye this day who you will serve. And as always, at the end of service, we have folks here in the front that will help you with that decision. They will pray with you if you need prayer. But please come. And for those who have visited and they visited us and they checked it out and they said, hey, we like what we see here and we want to be part of it, I say the more, the merrier. Come on, come on. We will use that ability up. Yes, we will. We will use that ability. Amen. And as I stated, for those who need prayer, those individuals will be here as well for you to speak to. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.